now. So we're going to turn over to Daniel 8 today. Today, if you are visiting, we got some people that are visiting with us. Once in a while, we do something a little different than we're in, actually in a study in Genesis, but I'm not going to do that today. Lots going on in the world, and I just feel like sometimes when something significant happens, things going on, lots going on that we want to talk about that, especially in the Mideast. And so I just want to talk about it so we can be aware of things that happen. And sometimes if there's something that occurs, I'll put three or four slides in front of the lesson. But today I didn't stop until I had way too many. Because I was out last week, you know, and I don't know, lots happened, and I even had to cut a bunch, and I don't even know. I've got a real good story to tell you about my lost suitcase when I came back from the Philippines, but I don't have time for it today. I'm going to try to remember to tell it next week because it's a story worth telling. But I'm going to have to hold that because of time, and I want to get to this, and there's some important points. Yeah, I do this because the Bible prophesy certain things, and we're living in the last days, and when we see things shaping up, we ought to know it. The Lord tells us to know it, and I think we ought to know it. I just try to make us aware of certain things. And I'm going to talk about Daniel 8, and we're going to read some verses in Daniel 8. Before I do, because I'm going to get into stuff, I don't want you to be unsettled. You know, the world, the market's going down. I'm not going to talk about that. But, you know, and the world is in turmoil, and this lesson today, you know, it might leave you think, well, it's all bad news. So I thought I would we're in Genesis, right? So I thought I would just leave you with, or start with this, so we start with a smile, okay? Bible scholars have determined that Noah took 977 trips to Home Depot while he was building the ark. It just works like that when you got a project going on. You never can. It's always more than one trip. And so I just thought we'd start there, and then the rest of it will be true stuff. Okay, that one. This is an article from the Foreign Affairs. Foreign Affairs is a good periodical. They got some really terrible articles in there, and they got some really good ones. Once in a while, they have different authors that write different things. It's difficult to keep up with everything they write. It's a lot, but this is a pretty reasonable article on a paradigm shift for the Middle East and how Trump can build on Israel's success and keep Iran off balance. And that's a little bit of what I'm going to talk about today. In addition to, and the title was, it's a strange title too, right? And the rough goat is the king of Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Persia. Because a rough goat, I think, is going to show up one day. Daniel 8. And let's start reading at the end of the chapter because I could do the whole thing. So I'm just going to do let's start with verse 21. And the rough goat is the king of Persia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now, without getting into, we're just breaking right in here. But this describes when Alexander the Great of Greece came along and he overtook the Medo-Persian Empire and became the next great empire worldwide many years ago. And he overtook things, you know, just rapidly. And this chapter in Daniel prophesies that well before Alexander was on the scene. The latest the Medo-Persian Empire is also mentioned in verse 20. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of the Medo-Persia, Media and Persia. So that one, you could say, if you didn't believe the Bible, now this was prophesied before the Medo-Persia Empire took over, but because Daniel lived through part of the Medo-Persia Empire, you could say that he went back and corrected his notes. He didn't, but I mean, somebody didn't believe could say that. But let me just say this. Greece was, when he wrote this, Greece was nowhere in sight. Greece was not in sight as a world power. And so this is a tremendous prophecy. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, that he didn't. There's no way he could have known that, and so this proves that the Bible is just a false book and so forth. You can believe that or not, but in fact, Daniel didn't know it in and of itself. Daniel himself, and you can read, if you read it carefully, he did not even understand everything he wrote. The Holy Spirit was speaking to him. He wrote it. He questioned God a few times in his book, trying to understand it a little better. And God told him, look, just go on your way, Daniel. And he wrote it, and God gave it to him. And it's a prophecy given several hundred years. Here comes the rough goat, which is Alexander the Great in Greece. Now, that's interesting, but let's keep going here. Verse 22. Now, that being broken, he's talking about that big horn, Alexander being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in fact, when Alexander the Great killed himself because he got so depressed because he couldn't conquer anymore, I mean, he basically conquered the world in no time, and four generals stood up in his place, just exactly as verse 22 has prophesied. Four generals stood up in his place. And in the latter time of their kingdom, verse 23, when the transgressors are come to a full of king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now what happened is several years later, a king stood up out of Greece, Epiphanes, and Epiphanes was one of the generals of former Greece that had control over Israel, and he hated Israel, and he stopped the sacrifices. He slaughtered a sow on the altar. Now, you remember, you know, the deal with pork and Jews and the law and so forth. I mean, he did everything. He slaughtered a bunch of Jews. He did everything. He was evil, a man that controlled the time. A lot of people at the time thought he was the Antichrist. He was not the Antichrist. But in fact, what we learn here, let's read some more. This is speaking of the latter times. What we learn is Epiphanes was in fact a picture of what is to come, the Antichrist to come. So let's read verse 24. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft, witchcraft you could say like that, to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify who? Himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. This is speaking of the Antichrist. He shall also stand up against the prince, capital P, right in your Bible, capital P. That's the Lord of princes, and he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the morning and the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted. Daniel fainted when he got the news and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Nobody understood it. Daniel, in fact, was a closed book for a long time. God said it's going to open up at the end times. We just now, not too many decades ago, started to understand some of Daniel because it was a closed book and nobody could understand it. Daniel himself didn't understand it. But in fact, it's speaking of the Antichrist, who will prosper of his own hand, not by his own power, but by the power of Satan. He'll magnify himself. He will come in peace. He will come with a big peace covenant with Israel. All that's, of course, outlined there and some other places in Daniel and some other places in the Word of God. Of course, he's going to be destroy, it says, the mighty and the holy peace people. He will be treat Israel savagely. They will have to run from him, all of that. The point I'm trying to make is that I've been watching through, you know, we say we're in the end times. We talked about how some things are shaping up. And I've been watching, wondering if little old Greece was ever going to get in the news. I mean, because this is describing the the Antichrist in the end time, he comes from the Grecian Empire. Now, to me, it doesn't have to be that he's in today's border of the of Greece. It just has to be, I believe the Antichrist will come from somewhere, it's my feeling, that he'll be a Gentile leader, not a Jewish leader. In my opinion, not everybody agrees with me on that, by the way, but I get it from this passage and others. This is a picture of the Antichrist. He's coming from a Gentile nation from the Grecian Empire. Now, to me, it doesn't have to be from Athens or someplace. It can be, to me, anywhere inside the borders of that empire in those days. That would qualify as far as I'm concerned. Now, but the Lord, I've always wondered, will the Lord actually bring the guy in from Greece? And if so, Greece, who has survived, you know, thousands of years, several years ago, let's say, I don't know, I didn't look it up, I should have, 20 years ago or some number like that, 10, 15 years ago, nearly went, you can go back and look it up, nearly went bankrupt. I mean, nearly ceased to exist because of their economics. And Europe, you can go back and look, Europe had to bail them out. And they barely survived it. And I've been to Greece. I've seen all the stuff. I've been on Mars Hill it's quite a place, but it nearly went under, but it did not. It did not. So that's worth thinking about. So does Greece show up? Well, later on in this presentation, if I get to it, which I plan to, we will see that Greece is shown up. We'll talk about a little bit what light they are shown. I want to talk about this one first. The whole Middle East, that article by Foreign Affairs talked about the paradigm change in the Middle East. This paradigm change that the world is just now noticing has actually been happening for a while. After World War II, the United States wanted everybody to be aligned again. They were worried about Russia, and Russia was causing a lot of problems. Russia was even more powerful then than they were now, of course, after the war. And it was going to be, United States versus Russia. And so the United States said to the rest of the world, we got a great Navy. We're going to take care of every problem you got militarily, but you got to be on our side versus Russia. So you get on our side versus Russia, we'll patrol the seas, and we will provide you military cover. And we did that. And until the last, three or four presidential administrations, we have held that. In the last three or four, we've decided to, American people are tired. Because that policy got us into some places that we had to fight, that we maybe wondered, why are we doing this? Well, it's because of the agreement we made. And then the last three or four administration, I'm not talking good or bad. I'm not talking any politics. This is just what happened. And we've decided, no, we're tired of war, and we're not going to do that anymore. And so we've changed some things. But the Mideast was different. Mideast was hard to manage. Empires through the years could not manage well the Mideast at all. And so these dictators sprung up, various dictators sprung up, and this is just part of them, in the Mideast. You remember Saddam Hussein, if you're my age at least. Gaddafi, you probably remember some of these others. Anyway, they had these dictators who ran their country with an iron fist and kept things in line. Now, their human rights record was horrible. They were terrible to their people. I'm not, no denying that. But what our administration in Washington liked was they kept people like ISIS and Al-Qaeda at bay. In other words, they were dictators, and they did not allow. The deal, you might say, was, I don't think it was formal, but the United States would let them stay in power, but we didn't want to hear from ISIS or Al-Qaeda or any other terror group. So that was kind of, and it was, it was kind of a worst of two, or the least of two evils, and that's what we did. When Saddam Hussein went down, that was one thing, and people began to say, and Turkey's another one I could have put up here, people began to say, especially in 2016, the Obama and then Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State. You see, all these fell right in there. They changed the policy and said, we're going to get rid of those dictators and we're going to let the people have a democracy. And we're going to go for that. And they really helped topple quite a few of these. The last one to go was a few months ago when Assad went. He was not toppled by us, but we were against him. But the point is that through that policy, what has happened? Well, now you've got a guy that was head of one of the big shots in Al-Qaeda that's running Syria. And you've got ISIS back on the scene, and that's how come they popped up in the Obama administration and so forth. Because all the dictators are gone. So and my point is, in this whole area of the Mideast, there's some big guys. I'm not trying to say that, but I'm just saying it is a paradigm change from the previous generation. Completely wide open. Which probably, had to happen to set up for the things that are going to happen in the end times. That's probably just part of the script, and that's where we stand today as we kind of open this. All those folks are gone. Every single one of the guys like in that old time, dictatorship, they're all gone, and we'll see how it works out, but it is a paradigm shift. Just a couple things. Now let's talk about Israel, and then we'll get on to Israel's the center of the whole thing. And Netanyahu will be here tomorrow, probably coming in tonight, expected to visit with President Trump. The press release says on tariffs, but if you look closely, began negotiations with Iran on a new nuclear agreement. They're not going to talk very long on tariffs. We have a free trade situation with. I would like to speak long and hard on tariffs because of the misinformation that the mainstream media is putting out there, but I would not. I'm going to refrain because I think we can spend our time better, but I'd like to say a few things. Let me just keep going. We don't have any basically with Israel. We import $22 billion worth of stuff from Israel. Primarily, it's high value, it's pharmaceuticals and high value technology. And we export a lot to them, weapons and so forth. We are not far out of balance. We're $6 or $7 billion out of balance probably, but I don't think, pharmaceuticals are exempt from all the tariffs. And I'm pretty sure military equipment is exempt, so I'm pretty sure tariffs is not going to be high on the list, but that would be a headline you'd put, and I imagine they're going to be talking about quite a few other things. So we're in the book of Genesis in our study. We're not going to get to it today, but we are. If we talked about Netanyahu, we'd say Netanyahu is a descendant of Isaac, right? We're in the Isaac Ishmael section of Genesis, right? And Netanyahu would be Isaac, right? So, interesting. Everybody always looks at the first trip a president takes in their term. They think it's seen as significant. Where's the first place that? Now, this is not Trump's first term, but where's the first trip he's going to take in a new term? That's always looked at, and so forth. President Trump announced that he is going to Ishmael. So Isaac's coming to, I'm just taking using Genesis language. Descendant of Isaac's coming, and Ishmael's coming, is going to be, our president's going to go see Ishmael later. I just think that's interesting because that's the two sons we've talked about with Abraham, isn't it? And so, we will see. He's going to visit Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and UAE. That will not be talking about them. That is going to be talking about Gaza. And we will see how all of that plays out. I've got more to say about Gaza, so let me keep going. Just to say, Elise Stefanik, Trump had to pull her. He nominated her for the UN. I'd only say this because she's very pro-Israel and would have been in that regard, a very good choice, because the UN batters Israel so bad. And it's important that the U.S. representative, which is not always the case, by the way, but it's important that the U.S. representative stand up, because we have veto power at the U.N. She would have been a really good choice, but the House, I'm not trying to get in politics, but the fact is the House majority that the Republicans have is so thin, and things weren't going to add up too well. And Trump has already taken a lot of Republicans out of there to put in his cabinet and so forth, and his administration, and so she had to, you might say, take one for the team and remain in her place and not have that UN post. But it's a little bit of shame, because she would have been a really pro-Israel voice, which we need and Israel needs in the UN. A little bit of good news. I got two, so I had the Home Depot thing. I got some more good news here. I'm surprised about this. Bernie Sanders, of course, he put up another, what he does every so often, resolution in the Senate trying to block aid to Israel. And you know, that usually can get a lot of votes, you know, to block them and so forth. But only 15 Democrats voted against it. And so it was like a 82, I don't guess everybody voted, but an 82 or 83 to 15 vote. So a huge majority for Israel. I was surprised about that and found that to be good news. This is not so good. Now, again, I don't show too many polls up here because most of them are wrong, but this one is so much of a Gallup is wrong as about as bad as anybody. But this is just thing, right? The numbers are probably correct. Less than half in the U.S. are sympathetic toward Israel. This is the people that support Israel here. You know, it's been over 60, not usually 70. Now it's down to 46%. If you can't read that, that's 46. Those who support the Palestinians, 33%. After the October attack right here, it did go down, but it's at a high, historic high right now of people in this country that support the Palestinians. So that's not such good news. This is some verbiage that's tied to that same thing. Again, I'm not making any kind of political announcement. I'm just reading what I'm using the exact wording. And so Democrats favor the Palestinians 59-21. Republicans favor Israel 75-10. Independents favor Israel 42-30. Four. It's really changed. Yet God said, what? I'm going to bless those that bless thee. It's important to be on Israel's side. Scripturally, I'm going to bless those that bless thee. I'm going to curse those that curse thee. I didn't say that. God said that. And that has proven to be true. So we keep that in mind if we want God's blessing on our people, our country. We keep that in mind. That's where we're headed and what's going on. Also going on in the Middle East right now is we are bombing the Houthis. This is from, I tell you, a good place if you want to just sort of know what's going on in the world and you want the truth and you don't want a bunch of news, you know, slanting it for you, you can go on the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio's website. It's really good. He puts his whole interviews and everything on there, word for word, and it's really nice to keep up. And this is just an interview he had. And the question was something like, you're bombing Yemen. And he said, look, we're really not bombing Yemen. The bombs are falling in the country of Yemen, but we're bombing the Houthi rebels. Because the Houthi rebels have attacked us, the United States, our assets that are in the region, 174 times in the last 18 months. And, you know, Biden didn't do anything about it. They walloped us all last year. Trump got tired of it. And yes, we are, I mean, this is from the AP, but everybody's commenting. We are right now in the middle of that. And it's a pretty vicious attack. I'll show you just as a reminder where that's at. So this is, Israel's here, Egypt. This is Iran, Persian Gulf. This is the Arabian Peninsula. And so here is Yemen. Here's where the Houthis are on this side. And so at one time, that's not true today, but before all this started, about 20, maybe 15 to 20 to 25% of world stuff passed through the Suez Canal here. So it came through, you know, as it comes from Asia like this, it comes through like that. And so come through that little strait right there, and that's where they're getting bombed. And so we've got a lot of ships in there, and we're trying to deal with it. And of course, because, and I showed you some numbers one time before, several months ago, but because now most ships have to go completely around the African Horn, it's much, much more expensive, and it's one of the reasons things have gone up, in fact, over the last several years. We will see what happens there, but right now this is a hot place as far as military action. I'm going to later in two or three slides, I'm going to get, so this is the Persian Gulf and this is Iran, and I'm about to get on to the topic of Iran, and I'm not going to come back to this map. Just remember this Strait of Hormuz right here. So this is, they got a lot of energy assets, and they ship a lot of oil, crude out of this Strait of Hormuz, and this is Iran. But I'm going to talk about this area right here in a couple of slides. Speaking of Iran, you probably have seen a lot of reports, but that France has put out that if there's not some kind of agreement with Iran pretty soon, there's going to be a big war. And so France, this is in March, has told all of their citizens to get out of Iran. And I don't know if anybody else has. It probably has. I didn't look it up, but just get out of there because we're probably going to have war. This came from All Israel News, and this is Joel Rosenberg, who's a saved Jew and pretty reliable in his news reporting. This is also a good site for you to keep up with stuff. And he says, is this a thing with U.S. Israel and U.S. attack coming on the nuclear program? And a growing number of signs say yes. Iran has said to Saudi Arabia, look, if the U.S. and Israel attack and destroy our energy assets, we are going to destroy yours. And what they're doing is trying to put pressure on Saudi to put pressure on Washington not to let this happen. And right now, I was preaching in Powderly, and I came back, on the way back, I came through Paris, not Paris, France, Paris, Texas. I filled up at a gas station for $1.99. I took a picture just so you, because I didn't know if you believe me or not. I got a picture because I thought, man, I may never see that again in my lifetime, $1.99. If this happens, we are not going to get anywhere close to $1.99. If Iran is bombed and then Iran takes out Saudi, the global price of crude. The U.S. will be shielded some because we produce our own, but the global price of crude will go through the roof. I don't know if that is going to happen, and I don't know if we're going to attack them or not. I do not know. That's just what the signs are saying, but I will say this. Remember that strait I was talking about, that Strait of Hormuz right there? I have confirmed this. At first I thought, I don't know if that's true, but the signals are jammed right in there. Somebody is jammed up, so they don't want the other guy to be able to communicate with the satellites and on the internet and so forth. Everything is jammed up right in there, and you can't get the signals, which is a sign. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on. I told you, see, it was going to get grim. That's the reason I remember I put the Home Depot thing so we could all remember that. Because we may, I don't know. So Saudi Arabia, the Crown Prince here, and Qatar and Kuwait have said to Iran, look, don't bomb our stuff. We're not going to let the U.S. refuel. We're not going to let the U.S. Dock their stuff at our place. So we're not going to cooperate with the U.S. at all in this thing. They won't be able to get fuel. But the thing is, I don't know how many of you heard of the little bitty island called Diego Garcia. So that's the UK owns that, and we got a big base there. All our stuff is stationed there. There's basically nothing there but military, and I think there are some natives there. This wire came out, and the guy just, I just thought it was interesting. You know, we got at least, according to this, six B-2 bombers on the island of Diego Garcia. It's 3,300 miles away from Tehran, Iran. Round trip, 6,600 miles, but the range of a B-2 is 10,000 miles. Somebody in Iran can do the math. In other words, we can make it. We don't have to have Saudi Arabia if we would choose to do it. I'm not promoting it. I hope we don't get in another war, but I'm just saying myself, but I'm saying it's not impossible. The other thing that's happening, Iran's in a lot of pressure. Israel's done a lot of damage to Iran, of course, has been funding the Houthis and Hamas and Hezbollah, plus their own stuff. We've talked about that. And so Israel's hit back and done a lot of damage in the country to a lot of their capability, in especially military capability, not so much their energy assets. But several things have happened to their economy, which is very, very poor. When Trump first started office the first time, I looked it up, and one, I'm going to call it a dollar. I don't think the Iran currency is called a dollar, but let's just say Iranian dollar at the time was $1 per 30,000 Iranian dollars, roughly. 1 to 30,000 in 2016. Today, it's 1 to 1 million. So Iran has to give 1 million of their dollars to get one single U.S. dollar today. Now, that's quite a thing right there. And so if they try to buy, because the world trades on what? The U.S. dollar. That's why, of course, they want to start, you know, use other currency and try to develop other currency so they can trade in another way, because they trade on, it's basically, especially the petrodollar is basically the U.S. dollar in the exchange. And so they're getting, I mean, economically, it's very, very difficult moment for them. One in a million. Also, we know, by the way, about drought around here. We know just as well as anybody. Maybe not as much as some people in the desert, but we live kind of in a desert. It's been dry, but and I wouldn't have put this one up because sometimes it can be dry in one region, not in another. But this Jerusalem Post is a reliable source. And they're saying they're at a tipping point as far as a water crisis. You got to have water to live. And so they're getting some quite a bit from, they've made a deal with Afghanistan to funnel quite a bit down there. And Afghanistan is reneging on some of that. So I don't know if how that's going to go. So all this has resulted in Iran scaling back the money and the resources and the bombs and missiles they've given to the Houthis and Hezbollah and Hamas, because they had to pull back a little to take care of their own shop, you know. And so that has really been a factor compared to, like, let's say 12 months ago. Speaking of Hamas, nothing new here. They rejected the latest ceasefire proposal. They don't have any leverage at all, but they don't agree to anything else at all. The last 2 weeks, the people of Gaza themselves have protested in a big way, wanting Hamas out. Hamas is just their political leaders, they want them out. So Hamas is losing in every way. I don't know how the whole, I'm going to call it Palestinian so everybody knows what I'm talking about. There's technically no such thing as Palestine, but I'm going to say that so everybody knows, and because it's what the term everybody uses. U.S. still searching for a state to accept the Palestinians. The Palestinians are Edomites. We've been through this in detail. I've shown you the maps. I knew I wouldn't have time to put them in here today. I started to a couple times, but these are historically, not every single person that lives in Gaza is an Edomite. But if you said, where are the Edomites, that's where they are. And I could show you that. In your Bible maps, if you have one of Jesus' time in your Bible, Idumea is a Greek term for Edom. And that's when they got the Nabataeans pushed them from Edom over to what they termed at the time Idumea. And you can find that in your own Bible map. And then they got pushed around to Gaza. There's some in what's called the West Bank, and there's a few less than a million up in kind of Syria, Lebanon area. So who's going to take these people? Where are they going to go? Israel's in talks also with several people. So the United States and Israel are both trying to figure out, where are you going to put these 2 million people? Because Gaza is basically destroyed. I mean, that's really the question. This is from Foreign Affairs, this pretty good article on Jordan's looming crisis. Jordan, of course, west of Israel. Jordan is the land, biblically, of Lot's two sons, right? And as well as who? Edom, in the southern part, the Edomites. And Jordan has got all kind of trouble and in a lot of ways. Without going into this, let me just say this. And I looked it up, one of the spots that these Palestinians could end up going to, I've mentioned before, is back home to Edom. Now, if that happens, that is extremely prophetical, because the Bible tells us, I should have put the verse in, but I've given it to you before. Jesus, when he comes back, you look it up. Part of his campaign at the last days is he's going to come from Edom. He's going to come from Bozrah, in fact. So right now today, remember I showed you how many people live there now? 6 people per square mile. In Palestine, there's 15,000. In West Texas, not counting Lubbock, where we got a population. If you just said from Lubbock to the New Mexico line and didn't take Lubbock, just took sort of that West Texas area, 20 people per square mile. Today in Edom, there's 6 people per square mile. Nobody essentially lives there. In Gaza right now, it's 15,000 people per square mile. I mean, everybody, they're just packed in there. So there's, to me, and the Bible says Jesus in that last campaign, I mean, he's going to come from Gaza. I should have put the verse in. I apologize for not. With blood on his gown, right? Because Jesus is going to come back in judgment, isn't he? There's going to be somebody there at that time. Wouldn't it be something if we watch the Edomites get put from Gaza back home to Edom? That would set it up for Jesus' return. I'm not a prophet. Everybody that's ever put a date on anything has been wrong, so I've been careful never to do that. But I'm just saying that would be something. That would be something. Of course, let me talk about, what about Hamas? Well, Turkey, I mean, what's happening here is they're all, the headquarters kind of filtering into Turkey. And Turkey is in the end times. Turkey is one of those countries in Ezekiel 38, 39 that may lead. Turkey and Russia could be the leaders in that thing. And Turkey is always in the news. They're trying to really influence Syria. Syria, of course, has fallen recently. And Israel is still striking the old Assad regime that's left in Turkey, and in Syria, and it's causing heartburn for Turkey. There's an article on this every week. It continues to be. How does Turkey feel about Israel? I know you cannot read that. This is all in Turkish language right here. This is Erdogan, the head of Turkey. And somebody translated this way, may my Lord bring ruin and devastation upon Zionist Israel. And that's the way he feels. And one day, the king of the north is going to come down upon Israel. And we got several references to that, both in Daniel and Ezekiel, probably two different things there. And so this whole thing of Turkey, Syria, Iran, Hamas, all extremely significant. A while back, in fact, this is Erdogan and Jolini, who's the new president. He's got several names he goes by, but he took off his army fatigues. Remember, this is him right here. Jolini here, this was when he was Al-Qaeda. Now he got a suit, and so he's head of Syria. He took away his fatigues, and he's pushed Turkey, and so the the Alliance of Nations is becoming like Syria, Turkey, Iran especially. It was Russia. Russia got kind of pushed back after this guy took over Syria, and Russia lost a lot of money they had invested right there. And so, and this is the whole reason that I titled today's lesson what I titled, The Rough Goat Shows Up. It's the first time I've seen the head of Greece show up and say, you know, we're going to do a deal with Israel. Now, I'm not saying this guy's the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. Don't know. Wouldn't say that if we as Christians won't know. I'm just saying it is prophesied in Daniel that in the last days, that rough goat is going to show up. And to me, the Antichrist is coming from that empire. It does not have to necessarily come from today, our borders of Greece, because they weren't the same borders as then. But I thought it was significant that this week the rough goat showed up. Now, we'll see. We'll see. Significant. Worth knowing, isn't it? Worth knowing. The guy from Syria, he wants to have a relationship with the U.S., but he's got no way in. Nobody's listened to him as yet. Trump has answered back, said Syria is not our fight. I'm not going to get into it. Other people are saying, this is from the BBC, saying for the U.S. to stay out of Syria is not going to be so easy. There's other articles written. This, again, from FP, again, another pretty good article, why he can't stay out of Syria. I certainly hope we don't. That is going to be just giving my own personal opinion. I usually don't, but that's not going to be so easy. So this is Syria. There's Israel. Israel also owns and is part of, you know, this area of Golan Heights is Israel. And so there's a lot. I mean, it's going to be hard for Israel to stay out of it, which might mean that it's hard for us to stay out of it. I've got two more slides. I'm on slide 37. How about that? I mean, pretty good, huh? Pretty good. I hurried through some, but I got two left. I'm going to make it. I just couldn't resist pointing out the World Forum. In Europe a couple weeks ago, there's old Bill Clinton shows up, him and Hillary. Bill Clinton got the Peacemaker of the Century Award from these people. Can you? I could say, and then she got up, spoke. I could say a lot. I won't. I just want, the only reason I even bring it up is not so we can laugh, but the Antichrist at the end is going to control everything, isn't he? And you know what? You can look it up yourself. Do you know what the theme of this thing was? The theme of the World Forum was, there's too much freedom of speech. There's too much freedom. We got to do something about this social media, because anybody can get on there and say anything. They've got too much freedom of speech. Look, when they start taking away the freedom of speech and the currency, if it goes to, you know, a cryptocurrency or something, and so forth and so on, you know we're in the end times. I'm just saying, these things are happening today. And as Christians, we need to be aware of it. We shouldn't be afraid, right? We don't have the spirit of fear. No, we should be privileged to understand we live in the last days. But we need to recognize that. And so that's a reason for a lesson such as this. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Our Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for your blessings.